Welcome to Tales from a Bibliophile, a bookish podcast about all things reading and the communities that books create. We're so glad you're here. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Carly Gorin-Stewart, and this week is another solo episode. This week, we're going to chat about how we track our books, rating books a little bit, and primarily how we track our books, specifically Goodreads versus Storygraph. I know this is a conversation happening in some communities, but I thought I'd bring it here. Before we jump into all of that, let me give you a mini update on what I'm reading this. So in addition to Disfigured, which I'm reading for a future podcast episode next week, actually, I am reading Lone Women by Victor LaVale. I think that's how you say that last name. The author of The Changeling. I mean, he's written several other novels and short stories and graphic novels, but The Changeling is the one that he is known for, which I actually have never read. But Lone Women is about, so the little blurb is, a woman with a past, a mysterious trunk, a town on the edge of nowhere, and a bracing new vision of the American West. So this book I heard about for the first time from Peyton when she was on, and she mentioned getting it in her most recent, at the time, Book of the Month box. And so I'd never heard of it. I had a free code for Book of the Month, and so I tried that out and I picked up Lone Women, and it's been really good so far. It's a little different than what I usually read. So it's like this mix of historical fiction and speculative, like a little bit of sci-fi-ish. It's not full fantasy. It's set in the real world. There is an aspect of sci-fi to it, and I haven't finished it, so I don't fully understand how it's going to work at the end, but, and I don't want to spoil anything, but basically it's about this woman who goes to, it's this black woman, the main character, in the 1800s, when the natives had all been moved off of their land by the U.S. government, and the U.S. government was sort of giving it to primarily white men, occasionally women, but there was one state, Montana. I don't know if this is true, but in the book, there's one state, Montana, that advertises that anyone, any person, so there's no qualification that you have to be white or male, any person that can tend the land for 3 years and make it productive will own it, basically. So our main character, the book starts with, and this is not a spoiler, this all happens in like the first five pages. The main character, Adelaide, the book opens on Adelaide setting her house on fire and leaving to seek out this new life in Montana. She's burned down her family's home, and so her parents are dead, and you don't know why, you don't know how, it doesn't show you or tell you any of that. It doesn't directly imply that Adelaide murdered them. It doesn't directly imply that she did not murder them. You just know that they're dead, and Adelaide is setting the house on fire, and then she's leaving to go to Montana. So the only thing she takes with her to Montana is this, like an overnight bag, basically, like a weekender in our modern terms, and a mysterious trunk that is absurdly heavy. And so it's got the trunk has a padlock on it. She's super weird about it. She takes it everywhere. She typically doesn't let it out of her sight, that sort of thing. So the story, once she gets to Montana, is about the new life she's making there, and then what's in this trunk and how it affects her, how it has affected her in the past, how it's affecting her now, how it's going to affect her in the future, that sort of thing. I am the worst reader for a thriller writer. Very rarely do I sit down with a thriller and I'm just like, okay, let's go. I'm going to read until I find out the twist. If I'm really enjoying a book, like completely enjoying it, if I really get immersed in the story, then I don't do this. But probably 75% of the time when I'm reading a thriller, I like flip to the back and I read enough to figure out what the twist is to see if it's going to be. I do this with romance or things that are tagged as romance also. And it's because, well, part of it I think is because I have anxiety, so I like knowing how things are going to end and where it's going. But also it's that there's so many books to read, you guys. There are so many books to read, and I don't want to be wasting my time. So I flip to the back to see if it's a twist that's going to make me mad or something that I'm going to enjoy. And if it's something that I'm going to enjoy, see, it doesn't pull the joy out of it for me because the joy is then in seeing how they get there, the process, so to speak. So I flipped to the back on this one and I figured out what was in the trunk. My guess about what was in the trunk was kind of correct. It was kind of a weird thing, so I hadn't fully, I think, realized what it was. I didn't fully guess it, so that was nice. And I'm at the point where, you know, I quickly got to the point where it was revealed anyways. Like, I hadn't been that far from it, but I'm really enjoying it. There's two sort of storylines that are currently about to merge together, I can see. I'm only enjoying Adelaide's. I'm not really enjoying the other storyline, although I know it is sort of a subplot, but I don't hate it. So it's not like the best book I've ever read, but I'm enjoying it enough. And so that kind of feels like a win. Yeah, so that's what I've been reading. I've also been reading Disfigured. We are going to talk about that next week on the podcast, me and Brisa. Brisa is coming back. If you listened to my previous episode on disability fiction, disability representation that aired a few months ago, that was Brisa, and she will be back next week. We're going to be discussing Disfigured, which is on disability in fairy tales. Let me pull up the author so I can make sure I give you the right name if you want to read along with us before next week. It is Disfigured on Fairy Tales, Disability, and Making Space by Amanda Leduc, L-E-D-U-C. And then we are also going to be discussing a book called Crip, Kinship, the Disability, Justice, and Art Activism of Sin's Invalid. The author on that one, the last name is Coffee, or K-A-F-A-I. Yeah, so we're going to be discussing those. July is Disability Pride Month, so I wanted to bring Brisa back so that we could have another conversation, this time about some nonfiction. Last time we talked some nonfiction, but primarily fiction. So this time I wanted to talk a little bit more in depth about nonfiction. There's some really, really great disability nonfiction. We might share the names of a few other titles next week. But if you would like to read along with either of those titles before you listen to next week's episode, that would be lovely. Or you can listen to the episode and then find a copy and read after. So that's what I'm reading right now. I'm also have been listening to She Who Became the Sun for one of my book clubs, but I have not been keeping up with it well. And I don't think, just because of my schedule, I'm going to make it to the meeting. So I may put that one aside for another time. That is by Shelley Parker Chan. It's a kind of historical fiction fantasy. I've been listening to the audio. I like to hear when there's another language that I'm not familiar with. I like to hear it. I like to do audio so I can hear the language properly pronounced. But there are some names in She Who Became the Sun that sound a little too similar, and so it's hard for me to keep track of them. I think I need to see the words on the page to kind of keep track of them. Also, I, as previously discussed, listen to my audiobooks really quickly. It's really hard for me to listen to them slowed down, and I think because of the language, I would need to listen to this one slowed down, and my brain just won't process it well. I'll get bored, and then I'll get distracted, and then I will miss things. So we're going to try that one again, maybe at a different time on paper. I think I'm about halfway through. I'm really enjoying it, but I just don't think my schedule is going to allow me to make it by then, and I need to finish some other books. All right, let's jump into this week's topic. So we're going to chat about Goodreads and how we track our books, or how I track my books, what I use Goodreads for, what I've previously used it for, why I'm choosing to not use it anymore, and what I am going to be using instead. So I will say I've always wanted to keep detailed information about what I'm reading, but I am very bad at it. I have tried several reading journals, like paper journals. I like that idea more, but I have never found one that most of the ones that I can find have more details or different details than I care about keeping track of. Like I really like the bibliophile. Pull up the, I think it's called Diverse Spines. Bibliophile Diverse Spines. It's Jane Mount's book journal. She has two. She has a Diverse Spine one and a regular one. So the regular one is called Bibliophile Reader's Journal. And then there's a Diverse Spines version of the reading journal. I picked mine up at my local Barnes & Nobles. I liked it. I like the illustrations. I like the little recommended reading list in the back. I like that it has note pages, but unfortunately it just like has very specific structured space and I don't use a lot of the structured space. So then I've also tried just a plain blank bullet journal. And I do still kind of use this because I want to have room. I don't like putting my reviews into Goodreads, and so I have been trying to keep a bullet journal where I can write more detailed thoughts, specifically because I've started doing the podcast. I didn't really care so much before the podcast. So before the podcast, I really just used Goodreads. I set a goal for the year. I tracked the books I read, and then I liked to see what I had read that year. I don't so much care about the number of books. I used to kind of care about the number of books I read in a year, but that thought process has shifted a lot in the last several years. My focus now is to read quality, so to read what I'm interested in, when I'm interested in it. I'm very much a mood reader. I can try to plan, and it does not go well. Really, the only sort of planned reading I can handle is, or I will actually do, is stuff for the podcast. So like next week, we planned to talk about Disfigured. So I'm actually reading that one. But as far as like, oh, I want to read these five new books that I got, that doesn't always happen. In fact, it frequently doesn't happen. There is occasionally a book that I am excited about that I buy and then I read it right then, but that is very rare. I am a mood reader, and so I read whatever my brain will allow me to read at the time that I choose to read. I also have ADHD, so I often like will be reading a book I know that I will like, but it's not the right time for it. So I put it down and will pick it up again at a different time. I like doing this instead of just being like, no, I'm never going to finish this, and then like getting rid of it, because a lot of times I just need to be in a different brain space, and that will happen at some point, which is why I like to buy books. A lot of people ask why I buy books when I work in a library, and that's why. I'm a mood reader, and I often decide I want to read a book and I need my hands on it right then, because if I wait to get it from the library, unless it is literally on the library shelf, you know, like if I have the thought at 11:30 that night, if it's on the shelf and I can pick it up the next day, that's one thing. But if I have to wait for it to come in, or there's a lot of holds on it and it's going to be a few weeks, like by the time it gets there, I'm not going to want to read it. So I try to utilize my library as much as possible, but often I buy books for that reason. Also, I buy books because I like to support the authors and I like to support the bookstores, which is partially why I'm going to stop using Goodreads, but we'll get to that in a minute. So I have just started trying to keep a more detailed journal, but for years, all I've ever done is used Goodreads, and I would, like I said, I would pick my goal, I would enter my titles in. I enjoyed seeing, at one time, I enjoyed seeing what my friends were reading, and I also used Goodreads a lot for work. So I would use Goodreads to look up a book really quickly to find the author or find the other books in the series. Goodreads used to have a really good list feature where I could type in like books about, so for an example, I'm thinking about doing an episode on books set on college or high school campuses, campus novels, for an episode of the podcast in the near future. And so when I was looking to try to find what books I might want to read for that, in years past, I would have gone to Goodreads and sort of tried to look for that. But that feature doesn't really work well. And neither does the friends aspect, because my friends list I'm not sure why, but like it's and maybe a lot of people have this problem, maybe nobody else has this problem, but it is a lot of people I don't know. So I have a lot of friends on Goodreads and I don't particularly care about what they're reading. There are about five people that I care that I'm friends with on that I'm actually interested in what they're reading. And so I don't use that feature as much anymore. I primarily use it for looking at the previous year's reading list. So I like to go back to my list for 2022, 2021, see what books I've read. I don't rate books, so I don't use that feature. I just have never rated books. It's always been so subjective that I never really understood the rating system, so to speak, and so I just never really did it. But now I know that everyone just sort of has their own rating system, and I don't need a rating system to help me evaluate my reading, and so I just don't use one. I'll make a note in my reading journal if I have one that I really loved this book. A lot of times, just looking at the list of books I read will sort of jog my memory on how I felt of them. That's not always true, but frequently it is. I also don't necessarily use the want to read list with Goodreads very much because, like, literally, I'm looking at it right now and I have 758 books on my want to read list. That's too many, and I'm not going to remember that I wanted to read them. Or, like, right now, I'm looking at it and I'm looking at ones I put on there in 2019, and half of these I don't care about anymore. Yeah, so I don't use the want to read list as much. And part of that is that I let myself put too many things on there and it just sort of went crazy and got too big and isn't really useful to me anymore. My sort of most frustrating aspect of Goodreads, the most frustrating aspect of Goodreads for me currently is that it's owned by Amazon. It was not originally, but it is now. And there are a few reasons why I'm not as comfortable with that anymore. I think Amazon, while a necessary evil for some people, it is not for me. I know that there are, especially in the disability community, there's a lot of people who depend on it to have things delivered to their home, both for their budget and their ability to like physically get to a store to buy books or buy supplies or whatnot. But that is not the case for me. And so I don't particularly want to continue to support it. I want to primarily support independent bookstores. I want to primarily support small business owners. And so Goodreads does not really align with those desires, my values, any longer. And so I am switching to something new. This is not by any means me trying to tell anyone who would like to continue using Goodreads that you're a terrible person. This is no judgment of anyone. This is my personal decision. And so I thought it would be fun to talk about what I'm going to use because you might not know about it. I did not know about it for a long time. And a lot of people I know use it and Goodreads. So it's not even so much that you have to get rid of Goodreads, but it might be fun to explore another option. And that option for me is called the Story Graph. It is a similar website slash app to Goodreads. It was created as a alternative to Goodreads for various reasons. For the original creators, it was very much that it was a alternative to something Amazon owned, and also there were different things that they wanted out of Goodreads that they weren't getting, and so they prioritized that. One of those things was advanced stats. Their stats setup is very different. You can actually, Goodreads doesn't really do stats other than telling you what you read, like how many books you read, that sort of thing. It does the year-end wrap-up, but it's very different than the stats that the StoryGraph offers. So the StoryGraph is an app and a website. You can do either. It has many similar features to Goodreads. You can track your reading, you can set a goal for the year. There are different reading challenges. Like there's a StoryGraph one that is StoryGraph Reads the World 2023, which has 10 prompts and it's to, read a book from 10 different countries. And then there's a genre challenge where it's you know, a challenge to read 10 different books from 10 different genres. There's so many other ones you can sort of create your own, I think, also. But there's several challenges by category: geographical language, literary awards, nonfiction, own voices, tackle your TBR. There's all sorts of cool stuff. One of the really cool ones, I think, is the literary awards one. So there's the Hugo Awards, there's the Locus Awards, self-published science fiction competition, the Booker Prize. They even have the Goodreads challenges. So like Goodreads 2011 to 2022 best historical fiction winners is a challenge you can do on here. So there's a lot of different ones, and I don't know, it's just a really cool place. Like if you found that you really liked the last couple books you read and they were all, I was going to say Caldecott, but that's an illustration award for children's books, which is a great award, but you know, not what I was going for. So we'll just use the Booker Prize. If you realize that that you've read a couple of books that have won the Booker Prize and you want to read more of those, this is a great place to find them all in one list. You don't have to go and look for them. So you can track what you're reading the same way you do with Goodreads. You can, so I have a little currently reading shelf and it says how far into it I am. You can do a to reads pile. But my favorite thing about StoryGraph, and I think the place where they really shine, is their stats. So let's talk about this. So far this year, I have read 22 books, and StoryGraph tells me that 7,380 pages, which is cool. It's not information I necessarily need, but some people really like that. It is cool to see how many pages that is. And then there's a pie chart for moods. This is one of my favorite things. So it takes the books that I have read and breaks them down into their primary mood and then puts them in a pie chart. And so 16 of the 22 books I've read are emotional. And then you can click on that little part of the pie chart and you can see all the books that are tagged that way. And books can be tagged as more than one thing. So the way that they come up with those stats is when you finish a book and you say you finished it, it pops up a little review thing that you can use. You don't have to. I often don't, because I don't typically use this outlet for writing reviews, but it lets you choose a mood. So it says this book would be for someone who is in the mood for something. And then you have like 15 or so little check boxes: adventurous, challenging, dark, emotional, funny, lighthearted, mysterious, etc. And then it asks you, how would you rate the pace of the book? So slow, medium, fast. You can tell it if the book is mainly plot or character driven, if there's strong character development, if I found the characters lovable, would I say that the cast of characters is diverse, and are the flaws of the main character a main focus of the book? And then you have the typical rating, or the typical review stuff where you can type an actual review and you can put a star rating in. You can do a half star rating. I know a lot of people care about that. Half or quarter star, I'm sorry. I don't rate with stars, so that's never really anything I've been concerned about. But I know a lot of people didn't like the Goodreads, or don't like that you can't do that with Goodreads. And then you can also, there's a little space that you can do books that are similar in themes, topics, or tropes. And then you can also, there's an area for you to enter any content warnings. So graphic, moderate, minor, you can do a brief mention or description. And if you wanted to add any further information about the content of the book, it lets you do that as well. And so I know that's a thing that a lot of people really like about this. It has content warnings, trigger warnings, which I know are really important for a lot of people. It's not something I particularly pay attention to, but I really like that that feature is there. So back to my stats. It tells you, like I said, it tells you the mood, and then it tells you the pace of books. So I primarily read medium paced books. And then I primarily read books that are 300 to 499 pages. Apparently I have not read one that's over 499 pages. I primarily read fiction. And then it does a little breakdown of genres. Gives you like a bar graph of genres. And then it gives you, if you do multiple tags, it'll give you a little bar graph of tags. I only have one tag that I primarily use, which is favorites. So it'll tell me how many books you have per tag, so to speak. It will also tell you, it'll do a pie chart for format. So if it does digital or print. And this is the only part that I'm kind of iffy on. It doesn't let you, like, so the way that it decides if it's digital or print is when you are tracking your reading. If you track it by percentage, it counts it as digital. If you track it by page number, it counts it as print. And you can't go back and change this. I wish that there was a option when you are putting the info in, like when you're putting your review or your stats or whatever in, that you could say, I read this in audiobook, ebook, or like physical, like print. I would really like to see, because I do both audiobook and ebook, so I would like to see how many audiobooks I listen to at the end of the year, so to speak. But right now, you just get digital or print. And so audiobook and ebook are lumped into one part of the pie chart. The thing that is great about StoryGraph, though, is that it is so new that they are, or not so new, but it's new enough that they are still building it. And so there are ways that you can tell them that these are features that you would really like in the future, and they will add them. That's not necessarily something that Goodreads had. Actually, it's not something they really had at all. You kind of get what you get with Goodreads. There's not really a lot of updates that they make. And so that's really nice. It also tells you what your most read authors are. This year, I've only read more than one book by one author, so it only shows up there, but it does a little pie chart, and it would show you multiple authors and how many books you've read of theirs. It does languages as well. All of my books are in English, so I don't have any stats for those. And then it does, per month, it does a breakout of how many pages, number of books, and how many pages you've read, which is a fun little thing. So in June, I read 6 books. In May, I read 3. But in May, I read 1,158 pages. So it's just a fun little chart. And then it does, if you use star ratings, it does have a place for that. So it would probably do a pie chart of each star rating or whatnot. So StoryGraph has a lot of the features that people like on Goodreads, and it has a lot of extra features and features that Goodreads does not have at all. So you can follow people the same way. You can set up, I've never used this, but you can set up a buddy read, which will let you do sort of like live tweet to your friends certain parts in the book. This seems really cool. There is also the option, so like Goodreads, StoryGraph is free, but there is an option to have like a plus, they call it a plus tier. So there's like a paid subscription version you can do. It's $5 a month. And you can do a 30-day free trial. You don't have to put any payment details in until after your free trial is up. But it lets you invest in them to help them stay independent and ad-free. And then it also gives you some advanced stats you can look at. It lets you do the Buddy Read book suggestions, which is just an extra little perk inside the Buddy Reads. You can do Buddy Reads with the free program. It also lets you put in feedback for upcoming features. So this is a great way to say, hey, I really love this platform. Here's this one feature that I wish that you also had. And if you have specific support tickets or requests for book information updates, that sort of thing, if you're a Plus member, you get priority support on that. So I'm not gonna delete my Goodreads because it has several years worth of what I've read. I think at some point I'm going to import that information somewhere else so that I have it, and then I probably will delete my Goodreads. I don't love Amazon. I don't love that Amazon has more information. I don't know. It is what it is. Some people are pro-Amazon, some are anti-Amazon, for some people it's complicated, like a relationship status. But it's not for me, and so while I can't erase Amazon completely from my life, I do think I'm going to skip Goodreads and I'm going to move to the StoryGraph. I'm going to try a free trial, the 30-day free trial, and then I am excited to see at the end of the year what my stats look like, what the detailed stats I get are. And I like that I can see that information throughout the year. I don't have to wait for the end of the year wrap up to see that information. I would love to hear your thoughts. Do you use the StoryGraph? Have you used it? Are you excited to use it? Would you like to be friends on the StoryGraph? You can do that. You can follow me on the StoryGraph, see what I'm reading. I am Tales from a Bibliophile on the StoryGraph. So you can find me, follow along. You can see what I'm reading, what I've recently read, that sort of thing. Oh, the thing I forgot to mention. So Goodreads lets you create little shelves. So I've always created like, I have a shelf that's like, did not finish or own these. And so the StoryGraph has that built in. There's, if you're looking at a book, it has, you can do currently reading, read, to read, did not finish, or remove book. You can also mark it as owned or mark it as you want to buy it, and it will pop up and show you places where you can buy the book. You can also create your own tags. So, this is kind of the equivalent of the shelves on Goodreads. So, on Goodreads, I have a shelf for Cozy Fantasies, which is a episode I want to do in the future. And so, I have a shelf and I have some titles that I think fall into that on there so that when it comes time to read more for that episode or talk about that episode, I have them in one place. So, you can also do that with the tags on the StoryGraph. So I currently have two tags. I have favorites and then I have campus novels, which is an episode I want to do in the future. And so if I click on campus novels, I can see what I have put on that list and what books I want to read for that. So anyways, if you would like to be friends, you can find me at the StoryGraph at Tales from a Bibliophile. You can follow me much the same way that you do on Goodreads. And I would love if you would pop onto the Instagram and tell us. I'm gonna put a little post up for this week's episode, and I'd love if you tell us your thoughts. Do you like the StoryGraph? Are you excited to try it? Are you a Goodreads like survivalist is not what I wanna say. Are you primarily a Goodreads user? Do you think you're gonna stay primarily a Goodreads reader is what I've been trying to say. Also, forgive me if my voice sounds a little wonky today. I had some kind of major dental surgery last week, and so I think it's affecting my sinuses a little bit. Hopefully, not too much, and it didn't bother you. But, anyways, thanks for hanging. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it and you've got an extra moment, I'd love if you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to keep up with us outside of the weekly episodes, find us on Instagram at Tales from a Bibliophile. You can also shoot us any feedback, any comments or stories or anything at all that you'd like to share at talesfromabibliophile@gmail.com. Happy reading!